Future Radio 107.8. Radio that does different.
Hello, welcome to the University of East Anglia and our special election fallout programme assessing the general election campaign of 2015. Over the next 2 hours, I'll be joined by students, academics and party activists. We'll also be hearing from some of the candidates. We'll be looking back over the election campaign, trying to put it into some sort of context and asking what might happen next. I'm going to start with Professor Lee Marsden, who heads the politics department here at the university. And Lee, we've just been looking at those exit polls. Did that surprise you to see that Conservatives predicted 316 seats?
Yes, I think it's probably surprised everybody in the country, and not least the Conservatives themselves. Certainly this is not a result that any pollster has predicted. The fact that it looks as though the Conservatives might actually increase the number of seats that they had on the last election is a pretty impressive achievement.
OK, thank you. Well, let's talk to Dr. Marina Prentoulis. You're a senior lecturer here as well. What do you make of that prediction that the Conservatives could almost have enough to form a government?
Well, I don't want to believe that this is correct, actually. I mean, if somebody thinks what has happened the past 5 years, what type of austerity policy we had around the destruction of the NHS, I really don't want to believe that this is a correct result.
Okay, all right, let's speak to Lawrence Hardy. Lawrence, you're a politics lecturer here as well. What would the Conservatives have to do to form a government if this is correct?
Well, they'll have to negotiate, because ultimately it's all down to who can command the confidence of the House of Commons. Certainly the Conservatives seem by far and away the most likely to. I can't see any other configuration working, but they have to negotiate with, no doubt, the Irish parties, the Lib Dems possibly, in order to get over the threshold to get 326 seats.
OK, well, let's bring in Professor Lee Marsden. Nicola Sturgeon has just said that she treats the exit poll with huge caution. She says, "I'm hoping for a good night, but I think 58 seats is unlikely, which is what they are predicted. If they get 58 seats in Scotland, what will that mean for the Labour Party, do you think?
Well, it would mean that Ed Miliband's campaign has been a complete disaster. He alienated the Scottish voter through his refusals to engage in coalition talks, or even sort of countenancing talking to the SNP after the election. I think there are a lot of broken promises after the referendum on Scottish independence, and Scottish voters have slapped Labour with a lot of force.
Let's go back live now to the election party, general election 2015, where Claire Priestley is still in the chair and looking at some of the things which have been missing from this campaign.
Hello, welcome back to the UEA for our special election fallout programme. We're looking back at the highs and the lows of this year's election campaign, and we are reacting to news of the first exit polls. Amy Rust, you're with the Politics Society. I know you've also been campaigning with Clive Lewis, the Labour candidate. What's your thoughts about this? Are you really disappointed?
Yeah, I mean, of course I'm disappointed.
You were in the union, the student union, when the news broke. What was it like there?
Yeah, I think it was just complete shock when the results. I don't think the mood, the atmosphere in the room really anticipated this kind of result. I think Labour's really underperformed.
Let's talk again to some of our political experts and Alan Finlayson. You're looking a lot into rhetoric, don't you, and what politicians are saying. Is this a failure of politicians to engage and get their message across?
Well, there's been a failure of that sort from all parties across the whole campaign, I think. There hasn't really been any party that you could say has expressed any particularly positive vision for how the country might go forward. The election campaign's been very concentrated on negative themes, on fear of Scotland, fear of immigrants, fear of the economy and so forth. And that may turn out to have played in the Conservatives' favour, but it certainly hasn't created an election campaign that you would say has brought people along with it and made them feel joyous about the result, whatever party it is that they voted for. I see that Paddy Ashdown has said that if the exit poll is right, he's going to eat his hat. If that happens, that will be the most interesting thing that's happened in the entire campaign and the most surprising apart from the result.
Well, Professor John Street, one of the other things that was missing from this campaign is kind of advertising hoardings, hasn't it? The whole nature of campaigning has changed completely this time around, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean it's been an online campaign. They haven't used the billboards in the way that they have in previous years. What's also interesting, I think, as a campaign, how little interaction interaction there's been with anybody other than the party faithful. I mean, the whole thing has been stage managed in a way to ensure that what appears to be massive popular support always surrounds every time a political leader appears. And there's been very little, except for those debates, the question time debates, where you've actually seen some engagement. And then the chasm between what the people in the audience appear to expect politicians to do and what the politicians are prepared to say was huge.
This is Future Radio.
Hello, welcome back to the UEA. We're watching the national and the local political landscape to see how things have been changing over the course of this election. And we have, of course, had a result in Sunderland South. It was a Labour hold with UKIP increasing their vote to 21.5% share of vote. They came second ahead of the Conservatives. We're going to talk a bit more about UKIP in a minute. But first, I want to talk about some of the other minor parties, smaller parties. And for the first time in this election, some of those smaller parties have played a much bigger role. The Greens, for example, are hoping to capitalise on what they say has been a surge in membership over recent months. Adrian Holmes was the Green Party candidate for Norwich North. He recognised that constituency was expected to be a straight fight between Labour and the Conservatives, but he told Jasmine at Future Radio that he was hoping to pick up votes from those disillusioned with the major parties.
Well, I'd like to get over 6%. I'm not saying what we will get, but I think we've got a good chance of doing much better than we did last time, doubling our vote, in fact.
Well, I've got a selection of guests, but I'm going to start with Tom Greaves, who's a lecturer here at the university, and he's also a Green Party activist. Tom, I know that the Greens were hoping to take Norwich South. Do you think they're in with any chance at all?
I think perhaps there's a slim chance. Certainly, we're going to do very well, I think. It's obviously a very difficult time for people to think about how they're voting, and they don't often vote in patterns similar to local elections. We've done extremely well in local elections for the past several years. And I think that we will capitalise on that great surge in membership over the last few months.
But some of the students were saying to me that Leslie Graham didn't perform that well at the hustings and it might have affected her student vote. What do you think?
I think that's possible, but people are taking into account all sorts of things at the moment and reacting to the situation on the ground. I've just seen a poll which says that the Greens may take two seats overall, so that puts us in that poll on a par with UKIP. So I think that's going to be a good result for us.
Well, let's talk a bit more about UKIP. And in that last election, Norwich North candidate Glenn Tingle got 4% of the vote for UKIP. He told Jasmine that although people tend to vote tactically in general elections, he is hoping to pick up more votes this time around.
It's difficult to say what you get on the doorstep is, we'd love to vote for you, but I don't want Labour or Conservative to get in, so I'm going to vote for the other party and strategically vote because I actually think you haven't got a chance. But I think recently we've seen an uprising of UKIP support. It's ballooned across the country, especially with two MPs defecting and being re-elected under a UKIP banner as opposed to just crossing the floor. I think people have got much more confidence in UKIP now, and that they realise that if they do vote UKIP this time around, they can actually get UKIP.
Let's ask Professor Alan Finlayson, has the rhetoric of UKIP changed this election campaign and the things that we're talking about?
Yeah, one of the key things that's been different is the more obvious presence of extra parties like UKIP and the Greens taking part in the large TV debates and so forth. So they've brought in a different set of arguments and a different set of views that perhaps people haven't heard as often in the past. And that's caused the other parties some difficulty in terms of how to reposition themselves. So you've seen Labour trying in some ways to say things that might pull back some of the UKIP voters or try to keep some of the voters perhaps to its left with the Greens. You've seen the Conservatives trying to win back UKIP voters by talking about Europe and so forth. So it's certainly changed the dynamics of the arguments quite considerably.
Well, let's ask one of our party members, Jan Malinsky's here from the Liberal Democrats. If these exit polls are right, we know that they may be completely wrong, but there is a predicted drop for the Liberal Democrats to 10 seats from 47. That would be terrible, surely, for you.
Yes, that would be absolutely appalling. But I think as we've seen from some of the commentary tonight from Paddy Ashdown and Alistair Campbell even, that I don't think many people are believing these exit polls. And I think actually, if you go to the Sunderland result, what we've just seen, I think is actually quite typical in some sense, because the parties in government are the parties that have lost.
All right, let's talk to Gilbert McNaughton. You're with the Labour Party group in the Students' Union. What impact do you think the smaller parties are going to be having on Labour tonight?
I think that probably the biggest impact that smaller parties will be having is, particularly if the SNP result turns out to be what it is currently predicted, which is 58 seats, then it could be that if the Conservatives are not able to form a majority, then they could become very significant in creating maybe an alternative coalition of the non-Tory parties. A lot of people are saying the exit polls are going to be wrong because there will be a lot of seats where there will be a tiny margin between the winner and the runner-up, and I think Norwich North will be one of those.
So talking tonight about the Norwich South constituency, that's where we're sitting at the moment at the UEA. It has a high number of students, around 20% of the electorate. Last time the Lib Dem candidate Simon Wright won the seat with a majority of 310 votes, but since then the university and other higher education fees have been put up to £9,000 a year under the coalition government. Despite that, he has said that he still hopes some of the student vote would come his way.
Obviously, do spend quite a lot of time meeting with students, speaking with students on the campus. They're an important part of the electorate here in Norwich South. I've got a really good Liberal Democrat student union society, the strongest I've ever known it. Look, I voted against the increase in tuition fees. I said I would before the election, and that's what I stuck with.
Simon Wright there, who is hoping to hold on to his Norwich South seat. Amy Rust, you're from the Politics Society. I know you're also a little bit involved with Labour. He says he speaks a lot of time talking to students. Is that your experience?
Oh, absolutely not. I feel quite annoyed that he's actually said that, to be honest, in that clip. I would love to ask Simon Wright when the last time he visited UEA was, and I'm pretty sure it'd be May the 5th, 2010.
Okay, let's talk to another young voter, Philippa Costello. You're here, you're a politics student. How have the smaller parties been campaigning on campus, say the Greens? What has it been like over the last few weeks?
I think the Green Party and the Society on campus have been far the most vocal of the societies on campus in terms of parties. They've been coming out every Wednesday, canvassing in on the square and within our union house, sort of talking to students about what the Greens are trying to do, with a particular focus on Leslie Graham and what she's going to do in Norwich, which I thought was really interesting and quite a good thing to do as well, because a lot of the time I think the parties focus too much on the national sort of aspect of the vote as opposed to the local.
I'm trying to right now to think of the positive things, and it has to do exactly with what we were discussing, the young people. And I'm very happy that I'm here, and around me there are young women, our students, who are studying, who are activists, who are part of different political parties, and I hope they will change these parties and they will be the ones who will create a different vision from the future. Also, that politics is not only about elections, it's about the people who are on the grassroots, they're the people who are campaigning, so it's not something that it is every 4 or 5 years, it's something that is happening every day.
Well, let's also ask Alan Finlayson. Ed Balls has said if the exit poll is correct, then it's a terrible result for Labour in Scotland, and he really hopes that it's wrong. That's the big story of the night, you think?
Oh yeah, without any doubt. There's certainly one area where the exit polls seem to be in line with some of the predictions is the scale of the victory to the SNP, and that's one of these things that is really very unprecedented. I don't know what the word for it would be. It's not an earthquake, it's not a landslide, it's worse than an avalanche. It's a complete transformation in Scotland, a wipeout for Labour, and it's going to bring a whole lot of different kinds of people into Parliament. Marina was just talking about young women. One result to look out for will be Douglas Alexander's seat. He's the Labour shadow foreign policy spokesperson. If he loses, he's going to lose to a 20-year-old female politics student. I call that a result from the point of view of a politics lecturer.
Well, very briefly, what does this mean for Labour?
Well, it's certainly preventing Labour from mounting an effective opposition in Parliament, and it's going to require them to think very carefully about how they adapt their strategy to deal with the rejection in Scotland.
Thank you very much. We're just hearing that in Thanet, the local Conservative and UKIP camps are saying that the result is very, very tight. That's where Nigel Farage is saying, and he's hoping, standing, and he's hoping to win that seat. But that is all we've got from election 2015 at the UEA. Thank you to everyone who's been involved tonight and who's helped prepare the special programme. Party's still going on, and there will be lots of results still yet to come this evening. Good night to all of Future Radio's listeners, and enjoy the last 10 minutes of the programme.
Future Radio 107.8. Radio that does different.